Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud. We begin seven lines from the top, a little bit above the two lines above the two dots, with the words Rav Yochanan, Hai Svarim Minole. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Pinkus Peter Sale, and Lester Arf. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So in yesterday's share, we had explained a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rebbe in terms of how they darshan that Bia is a valid way to make Kiddushin min HaTorah. Again, never recommended to be the primary way that a woman is Mekudeshes. In fact, Rav would give lashes, and we'll still learn it on Masechta, and somebody was Mekadesh a woman via Bia, but it halachically does work to make the woman Mekudeshes. So Rebbe had learned this out from the drush of the words Uva Allah, and then he had to explain at the end of the Shia yesterday what he did with the words Be'ulas Baal. Rav Yochanan darshaned out that Kiddushin can be effectuated via Bia from the words Be'ulas Baal. And therefore, now we're going to ask, what does Rav Yochanan do to learn the drasha that Rebbe had learned from Be'ulas Baal, and that was that Bia Shlo Kedarka by the husband would in fact make the wife into a Be'ula, and then we had a machlos between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to whether that was true as well for other people as well. But where does Rav Yochanan learn out this din regarding Bia Shlo Kedarka? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan would hold as follows. Rav Yochanan, he learns out, Hai Svar Minole, how does he know this? So he says, Im Kain Nichtov Kro Be'ulas Ish. I said this the other day. It would have said Be'ulas Ish, not Be'ulas Baal. Why did it say the word my Be'ulas Baal? To teach us both of these drushes. The drush of Yochanan learns that you learn out Bia is effectuating Kiddushin, as well as this drush of Bia Shlo Kedarka, Shmami No Tarti. We can learn out both of these things from this din. Okay, that really concludes yesterday's share. I should have gone to the two dots, but I didn't. Okay, now we start again with a new discussion. Ibarlu, the essay based manager, following Shaila. Techilas Bia Kona, or Sof Bia Kona. That which we said that a woman is Mekudeshes by having Bia, so which aspect of Bia does this? Is it the beginning of Bia, or does it mean when the Bia is completed? Bigmar Bia. So that is the question, which we'll see in a moment, two nafkaminas. The question is it the tchila of the bia that actually effectuates the kiddushin, or does no, the beginning of the bia doesn't effectuate the kiddushin, it's only with the gemar bia, sof bia, that is when the kiddushin occurs. Where it says, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is a little bit of an unusual scenario, lavdafka, that it actually occurred, but it's teaching us a principle here. Nafkamina, the nafkamina would be one of the two following scenarios. For example, number one, kigon, sheherabha, the man had genital contact with the woman's genital area, so they were in close proximity to each other in an undressed state, but there wasn't actually penetration. In this situation, that's called he'ara. So machlokas as to what exactly ha'ara is. Is it just contact or is it a slight penetration? We'll leave that for another time. That's a gemara elsewhere. But for now, we'll just assume that that's called the beginning of bia. He'ara is what we call tchilas bia. And if in fact that were to make kiddushin, then this woman is considered a married woman at that moment in time. And then right after that, if Parshta Yodda, if she then stretched out her hand, so to say, the Kibla Kedusha Miyachar, and accepted Kedusha from another man, so if this is considered Tchilas Bia is Kona, so then in that situation, she's a married woman, and the Kedusha from the second person will not take effect. On the other hand, if the Tchilas Bia doesn't make her into a married woman, she's not considered Meuresis at that point in time, so then, even though she's about to have Gemar Bia with this man, nevertheless, at this point in time, she's still considered a Penuya. And if she accepted Kesef Kiddushin from someone else, so somewhat paradoxically, that other person is her husband. And now she's committing adultery with the first person who she has now Gemar Bia with. So that's one practical nafkamina. Again, a very unlikely and unusual scenario. And so too is the second nafkamina. And now, alternatively, we can be talking about that she has relations with a Kohen Gadol. Now, she is a Besula, and she's getting married to this Kohen Gadol. Perfectly good, valid marriage. However, the Kiddushin over here is done via Bia. And therefore, the minute you say that Tchilas Bia is Kona, so the Kohen Gadol married a Besula. No problem. The Kokoni Besula with Bia. And therefore, in this situation, if she is in fact considered Mikudeshes with the He'ara, with the beginning Tchilas Bia, so then in that situation, Baruch Shem, the Kohen Gadol married a Besula. But if we're saying that the Kiddushin only occurs somewhat paradoxically, at the Gemar Bia with Sov Bia, so then, at the moment that he's Mekudeshes with her, so she's actually a Be'ula at that point in time, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Be'ula. Because In this situation, she already had Ha'ara, she had Tchilas Bia, she's not considered a Basula, and therefore the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. So again, somewhat of a strange paradox. And those are the two Nafkaminas that we asked the question to, is Tchilas Bia Kona or Sov Bia Kona? My, what's the Allah? Shemur says, Amameh Mishmeh the Rava, Amameh said in the name of Rava, Kol HaBoel, when a person has relations with a woman, he obviously is intending to complete the relations. Daito al gemar bia. He doesn't intend to just start relations and not complete them. So mistama, it is the gemar bia that is the critical factor. And therefore, it is the sof bia, the gemar bia, that in fact is making the woman mekudeshes. Okay. There's another question of Eisem Adrushi, by Lu. They ask the following question. Bia nisuin osa? Oh, erisin osa. When in fact we said that the woman is mekudeshes via bia, v'yishu niknis b'sholosh drachim b'kesu shtar ubia, so does the bia make her into a arusa, or does the bia possibly make her into a nesua? We certainly know that after kesef kiddushin, the bia will make her into a nesua. But what happens if you don't have the kesef kiddushin? If you just have the bia, does that make her into an arusa, or does that make her into a nesua? No, what's the nafkamin over here? So it says, nafkamina would be, is she considered a full-fledged nesua versus only being an arusa? And the nafkamina would be, liyarsha. If this woman were to die, does her father inherit her because she's not yet fully married? Or do we say, no, her husband is her full-fledged husband, and now the husband inherits the wife. Likewise, if the husband is a kohen, is he allowed to be mitami to her? He's not allowed to be mitami except to his wife. So if it only makes her into an erusa, so she's not a full-fledged wife, he wouldn't be allowed to be mitami to her. But if she's a nesua, so then she's a full-fledged wife, and the kohen would be allowed to be mitami to her. So that's nafkamina number two, litami law. Nafkamina number three, does he have the right to be made for her nedarim by himself? If she's only an erusa, so then both he and her father still are able to go and be made for her nedarim. But if she's a nesua, she's out of her father's domain, and she's now in his domain totally, and only he can be made for nedarim. Alternatively, Yamris Nisuosin. If you say, on the other hand, that she is in fact a Nisua, so then he does in fact Yarsha, he would inherit her, or Metambula, he would be allowed to be Metamia, or made for Nidara, and be able to be made for her in nedarim. So again, if she is only a Arusa, the father inherits her, not the husband. The Kohen husband is not allowed to be Metami to her, and they have to be made for nedarim together. The husband, because he's only a arusa with the father. But if in fact she's considered a nesua, then the husband definitely inherits her. The husband can be metami to her. And only the husband can be made for nedarim. Now, the amris erisin osed. Now, if you tell me that the kiddushin of bia is only erisin, so then eno yarsha, veno metami lo, veno made for nedarim. Then she would not be under the domain of the new husband yet, fully, and therefore the new husband wouldn't inherit her, and the new husband couldn't be made for nedarim, and he wouldn't be able to be mitami to her. So therefore, that is the question. My, what is the halacha? So our Abaye wants to suggest from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Ksubos, which tells us, Toshma, ha'av zakai bevito b'kidu sheha b'kesef b'shtar u'bevia, that the father, when he marries off his daughter, who is a katana, or a naira, so he is entitled to get the kesef kiddushin. He is the one who accepts the shtar of the marriage, and he is the one that has the right to give her over into bia to the prospective husband. Now, it says over here, v'zakai b'mitziyasa uv'masi yodeha u'ba'afaras nederah. Likewise, the father still has the right, at this point in time, to go and take any objects that his daughter finds, because he's supporting her, so quid pro quo. The rabbi said that the father has the right to her mitzios, uv'masi yodeha, any handiwork that she does, the father's supporting her, he's entitled to her handiwork, and the father can still be made for her in a dart. Umakabalas Gita, if the father had married her off, a Daraisa marriage, so even though it's a Daraisa marriage, the father can still accept the get on her behalf. So this is while the girl is a Ketana or a Nara. Once she's a Gedola, she's totally outside the father's domain. But if she's still a Ketana or even a Nara, the father could accept her get on her behalf. The Ein Ocha Peros Bechaya, but the father is not allowed to go and eat. Let's say she inherited somebody and the daughter has this inheritance, but not the father. So the daughter has this inheritance, so the father is not entitled to eat the fruits of that. He doesn't have the right to go and take that property and eat the fruits of that property. It belongs all to the daughter. However, Nisus, if the girl did become fully married, so then Yaser Olav Habal, the Baal, has more rights than the father did, because the father didn't have the right to be Ochal the Peros, as we just said. However, the husband does. So it's a full-fledged Nisuin. Yasir lof Abal, the Baal is more than the father, she'ochal peros b'chaya. He would have the right to go and eat the peros during her lifetime. Now, What did this Mishnah say? This Mishnah, Ksubos, seems to clearly answer a question. Tani, it said, Bia, Uktani Nisus. The first part was dealing with Bia. Ha'av Zaka Bibito Biktusha Bechesav Ushtar Ube Bia. And it said that the father in that situation retained certain rights because she was like a Arusa. But it then said later in that Mishnah, it said, once she became Nises, implying that with Bia, she wasn't Nises, she was just an Arusa. Once she was Nises, so then the Baal has those rights. Now, Ktani Bia, Ktani Nises, so it separated the two, implying that Bia only makes the first stage of marriage, and Nises then makes the second stage of marriage. So Bia asked and answered. The Bia only makes Arusin. So when it says, no, Kikitani Nises, Ashaira. No, when it was talking about Nises, that's talking about all the other things. As opposed to Bia. Bia would have still made her into a full-fledged Nisua. It's only the Kesef Kiddushin, or the Shtar, that it's referring to, that only they have a certain status as an Arusa, and then Nises changes the status. But for Bia, it becomes a Nisua right away. So therefore, a bias suggested answer isn't the right. Okay, try again. Omer Rava. Rava says, Toshma, we can learn from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah states, Bas Shalosh Shonim V'Yom Echot Miskadeshes Bebia. So this Mishnah, which is on Mishnah Nida, tells us that until a girl reaches the age of 3 years and 1 day, her Bia is not considered Bia. But once she reaches the age of 3 years and 1 day, Bas Shalosh Shonim V'Yom Echot Miskadeshes Bebia. Her Bia is considered Bia, and this woman can become a Arusa Mikudeshes with this Bia. And if in fact she had fallen Yibam, she had been married to someone else, and they died without having children, she's a very young girl, she obviously didn't have children, so then her father's brother would do Yibam with her, and if in fact he did Yibam with her, and she's older than 3 years in 1 day, so the Yibam is in fact a valid way to acquire her as his wife. And in this situation, if either the father married off to the first husband, or through Yibam now, to the second husband, so if somebody else unfortunately commits adultery with her chas v'shalom, so then she is considered an eshezis, even though she's a ketana, she won't be punished, but the other person, the adulterer, so he will be punished for having relations with a married woman. And in fact, if this girl becomes a nida, and then she has relations with somebody, and we turn to Yud Amud Beis, that this person will become Tamei, like anybody having relations with Anida, Latame Mishkav Tachton Ki Elyon. Now we have to explain what this means. There's a complicated din that will first start off with a woman herself who's Anida. A woman is Anida, so anything she sits upon, lies upon, leans upon, supported by, so that becomes a medrash. That becomes a tumma that is an avha tumma. So if the woman lies on a mattress, so the top mattress that she touches becomes a medrash. But even the mattress below that becomes a mattress, and the mattress below that becomes a mattress. So this is what I call the princess and the pea. So she, the very, very sensitive princess, is able to feel a pea all the way at the bottom of these 10 mattresses. So the tumma in this situation, even though it's not a direct contact, since she's supported by even the bottom mattress, that bottom mattress also has the status of being a mattress, an avat tumma, even though she never touches it. Now, if a man is metame himself by being boel anida, so he also gets a certain tumah for 7 days, just like the nida is tumah for 7 days. However, the man doesn't make something into a medrash, but the man has the potential to make it into an rishon, not into an av, but anything that he is supported by becomes a rishonal tumah. And here, what we're telling us is, letame mishkav tachton ki elyon. So the man makes the top mattress a rishon, but he also makes the bottom mattress into a rishon. Every mattress that he's leaning upon becomes a rishon. Not a medrash, not an avatoma like the nida herself, but one level removed. But it's not that the top one's a rishon and makes the second one a sheni and the third one a shlishi. That isn't the case with a man who's boel a nida. But that is true that they all become a rishon latoma, even the bottom one. That's only if he was Boel, a girl who was at least 3 years and 1 day. And that's what it teaches us over here. If the man was Boel Anida, who was 3 years old and 1 day, so then he has the ability to be Metame Mishkav Tachton Ki Elyon. Otherwise, however, if she's less than 3 years and 1 day, so then he's just as if he touched Anida. And a man who touches Anida, so he becomes a Rishon Tumah. And anything he touches becomes a Shein Tumah. He can only be Metame Ochlun Umashkav. He can't be Metame another person or Kalim. Can't be Metame Odom V'Kalim. And therefore, in this situation, if he was Boel Anida, who was less than 3 years and 1 day, so when he touches the top mattress, so that top mattress becomes a Sheni. And the second mattress below that would become a shlishi, etc., all the way down to the bottom mattress. And therefore, this is different if the girl is above the age of 3 in 1 day versus lower than the age of 3 in 1 day. The Mishnah continues and tells us, "V'imnisis lekohen ocheles betruma." If this was a kohen and he married this girl and she's more than 3 years and 1 day, so then she's allowed to go and eat truma. Now, and if one of the people that are forbidden to have relations with her has relations with her, so mumasin ayada. So even though she's a katana herself, so she won't get misa, but the person who has relations with her, the one who committed adultery with her, will in fact be chayav misa. But since she's a katana, she in fact will not be punished. Now, and if, for example, she was a Kohen's daughter and somebody had relations with her, so in that situation, she would be pesula min hakuhuna. She no longer would be allowed to go and eat truma. So if, even though in her father's house, she would be allowed to eat truma, in this situation, she no longer would be considered able to go and eat truma. So if she is older than 3 years and 1 day, when she has relations with this person who is echad min hapsulim, so he will make her nivala lepasula, and therefore she is pesula from eating truma, even though she's still in her father's house. Now, this is what Rava brings down, and he tells us, Ktani, it said over here, Bia, Uktani Nisis. Again, we have two separate ideas here. It says, Vim Nisis the Kohen, and first it gave us the case of if she had Bia. So that implies that Bia is separate, that only does Kiddushin, and Nisis is the second stage of marriage that does Nisuin. So it looks like that the initial Bia only does Kiddushin and doesn't do Nisuin. That's what Rava wants to bring as a proof. Where it says, no, Lav Dafka. Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. E Hani Nisuin the Kohen Inu, if she in fact had this relations, this Bia, with the Kohen, so then she would be considered in a Suah, and therefore, Ocheles Betruma, she'd be allowed to eat Truma. So you can't bring me a riot from here also, that Bia doesn't make you into Nisuah. What this Mishnah is telling us, that when she is in a Suah, for example, if she had Bia with the Kohen, so then, in that situation, that Bia was for marriage purposes, it doesn't make her into just an Arusa, it makes her into an Suah. So again, we don't have a bias proof, we don't have Rava's proof. So, the word says, try again, Toshma, from the following. Ukvar Sholach Yochanan bin Bagbag. Yochanan bin Bagbag sent Eitzar of Yehuda bin Misera l'Nitzivim. He sent the following to Yehuda bin Misera when he was in the city of Nitzivim. And he said, Shamati Alecha, I heard about you, Shata Omer, that you say, Arusa Bas Yisrael Ocheles Betruma. That if an Arusa, who herself was a Bas Yisrael, had first stage of marriage, Erisin, with a Kohen, she's allowed to go and eat Truma at that point in time. You don't need to wait until Nisuin. Is that really what you said? That's what Yochanan ben Bagbag sent to Rav Yehuda ben Misera. So Rav Yehuda ben Misera sent back to him, Sholach Lo, and he said, Nu and you, v'yata, i'ata omer kein, you don't agree with me? Well, after all, I thought, Much zakni b'cho, I was under the impression, it was certainly clear to me, Shato baki b'chadrei Torah, that you're a very big Talmud Chacham, and that you're familiar with all the Chadrei Torah, all the different aspects of Torah learning, all the Chadarim, all the different aspects of Torah learning. And therefore, you certainly know Lidrosh Bekavachomer. So don't you know how to darshan a Kavachomer? And you should have darshan, instead of asking me this question, you should have darshan the following Kavachomer to make the answer for yourself. And that is, Uma Shivcho Kinanis, a Shivcho Kinanis, Shein Biyoso Machilosa Vitruma, that if the Kohen were to have relations with her, that wouldn't entitle her to go and eat Truma, because it's not Kinyan Kaspa, he just had relations with her. Nevertheless, Kaspa, if he purchases her, Machilosa Betruma, she would be Kinyan Kaspa, and she'd be allowed to eat Truma. So relations wouldn't allow her to eat Truma, but buying her with Kesef would allow her to eat Truma. So then certainly, here's the Kal v'chomer that Rav Yehuda Masera said, Ben Bagbag, you should have learned this yourself. Zu, this woman who is the wife of a Kohen, should be also Machilosa Betruma, the fact that Bia is able to go and let her eat truma, ain't no din shekaspa machilosa betruma. So if Bia can make her eat truma, and Bia doesn't work by a shivcha kenanis, and Kesef does work by a shivcha kenanis, so here Bia works. Certainly, Kesef should work to be allowing the first stage of marriage, the arusa, to go and eat truma when she has erisin from a kohen. Nope. That should be the Kal v'chomer. Abo Moya said, Rav Yehuda Masera says, but what can I do? That Kal v'chomer is shlugged up by the rabbis. Shari Omer Chachom, the rabbi said, we're concerned over here. We don't allow this Arusa to eat. She would be allowed to eat min ha-Torah. Ein Arusa v'asor lo cheles b'tshuma mid-rabanon. Ad she tikones l'chuppah. Until she goes into the chuppah. Why not? Because, as we already learned previously, we are concerned that she's not living yet in her husband's house. So she goes to her husband's house to have a date, and she sits there and eats with him. He gives her a peanut butter sandwich. She can't finish it off. She takes it home and gives it to her brother, gives it to her sister, because they're not kohanim. They're not allowed to eat it, but she brings it home to her house. They're not going to realize, oh, here, have a sandwich. And therefore, the rabbi said, even though midoraisa, through this kavah chomer or through other sources, you're allowed to have the Arusa be considered kinyan kaspo of the kohen, and she should be allowed to eat truma. The rabbis came along and made exer over here because of the concern that she'll come back to her house and give some to her brother or sister who are not kohanim, not married to a kohen, and therefore would be a problem. Now, what are we talking about over here? Heichi domi. What is the case over here of the kesef and the bia that Rav Yehuda Meseira is referring to in his kavah chomer? If we're talking about ibe bia shayde chuppah, if it's talking about bia that comes after chuppah, and the kesef, shai de chuppah, and it's kesef that comes also for the chuppah, and then in both situations, v'tarvayu mechalocha, then in both situations they can eat. What would be the question? So obviously, Elo, we're dealing here with bia, shai de chuppah, that when reviewed the Maseret said, the bia over here, it was with an act of chuppah. And the kesef kiddushin, shloi de chuppah, that wasn't with an act of chuppah, and therefore, how can you say this is a kavah chomer? Hocha tarti. In the case of the bia, it was bia plus chuppah. And in terms of the kesef, it was just v'hocha chodah. It was just kesef without chuppah. So therefore, why is that a kavah chomer? So therefore, that can't be it. Elolav bibia shloi de chuppah. The bia is also without chuppah. The kesef shloi de chuppah. And the kesef was without chuppah as well. And therefore, e amris v'shloma nisuno. So if this bia functions like nisuin. Oh, we understand. So then we understand why bia is stronger than kesef. And that's why I needed a kavah chomer to teach us that kesef, which is only kiddushin, through this kavah chomer from bia. But eliyam is kiddushin also. If you're telling me that the bia only makes kiddushin, it doesn't make nisuin, so then just like in regards to the kesef kiddushin, he wasn't sure, and he only learned it out from the bia through the kavah chomer. So in that situation, if there is no kavah chomer here because the bia is not nisuin, it's only erusin, so then why would he think that one should be able to be learned from the other? And therefore, we want to conclude that from Yudim and Misera, that the kiddushin of bia serves to make her not only an arusa, but also into a nisua. So that's what we want to prove. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, Liolam. In fact, I disagree with that. Ein malacha bebia shai de chuppah. We are talking about bia with chuppah, and the kesef shloi de chuppah, and the kesef was not with chuppah. Aye, that which we question, if you're saying that to kamer is hochatarti, it's bia and chuppah versus hochachada. It's only the kesef of kiddushin. That's not a problem. Nevertheless, kavachomer mia isa. There still is a kavachomer, even though it's two against one. Why is that?" And this is what Rav Yehuda Meseira actually sent back to Rav Yochanan ben Bakbak. He said as follows: you can't go and have the Shivcha Kenanis go and now be able to eat Truma. It's not called Kinyan Kaspo if you just have relations with her. Even if there was Chuppah involved over here, but no Kesef, that's not enough. So Kaspa, nevertheless, money, machilasa below chuppah, is able to go and have her be called king in Kaspa, and she can go and eat truma even without any chuppah whatsoever. Now, therefore, zusha biyasa machilasa betruma ide chuppah. So certainly, when a wife of a kohen, in fact, is now undergoing bia and chuppah, so she's a full-fledged wife now of the kohen, and she can eat truma, so ain't no din, it's a kavah chomer. Shekaspa, which can make the shivcha kenanis able to eat truma, which in this situation, kaspa certainly should be machilasa b'truma b'lo chuppah. And therefore, that is the kavah chomer. No, Rav Yehuda Meseira said, Avo ma'esa, what can I do? Shari yomu chachamim, ain't a rooster by sisol, locheles b'truma, achi dikonis l'chuppah, mishum de'ula. Because of that gezerah that we brought down from the chachamim, in the name of Ula, that we're concerned that if she's not living with her husband, and you give her a peanut butter sandwich, that's truma, she's not going to finish it off at her husband's house, and she'll come back to her own house and give it to her brother or sister, and then we have a problem. They're not entitled to eat truma. So the rabbis came along and knocked apart this kavah chomer. But it is a good kavah chomer, even though it's two against one. Even though it's tarti and chada, nevertheless, it's a good, valid kavah chomer. Okay. Gemara says, Nu, uben bagbag, Yochanan ben bagbag. Why didn't he like this kavah chomer of Yehuda Meseira? Skabi shivcha kinanis lo shira b'kinyara. because he says, in regards to Shivka Chananis, when she is purchased with money, there's nothing left over. She is fully acquired with the giving over of the money. She is purchased. However, in regards to Kesef of Kiddushin, Hocha, Shir B'Kinyona, by giving the Kesef of Kiddushin, she only becomes an Arusa. She's not completely married to him. She's forbidden to live with him until the actual chuppah, until the Nisuin takes place. So therefore, that's why Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag didn't like this explanation of Yehuda ben Bisera. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Ravina tells us, Bia only makes Kiddushin. It doesn't make Nisuin. Why? Midaraisa mifshat pshita leidiochla. That according to what Ben Bagbag said, midaraisa, a woman who underwent just kiddushin, is allowed to eat truma. And as we said, midrabanan, and it's only a din derabanan. And that's what he sent to review the Maseru, midrabanan hu deshalach lei, that this woman is not allowed to go and eat midrabanan. And that's what he had sent to review the Maseru. And Rav Yehuda Maseira sent back to Ben Bagbag, Bahochi Shalach Lei, Shamati Alechsha to Omer, Arusa Basisor Lechaz Vetruma. I heard that you say on a deraisa level the Arusa can go eat Truma, Velo Chayishas the Simpon. And you aren't concerned about Simpon. What is Simpon? Simpon is if something's going to come along and show us that we were wrong, and then retroactively she'll have eaten Truma. So if we go and allow her to eat Truma as an Arusa, and then it turns out that this was a Mekach Tos, there's a Simpon. Simpon Rashi tells us it's called Dover Hamivato Dover Kari Simpon. So anything that would make this into a Mekach Tos, for example, Rashi says, Kigon Shover Heavy Simpon Shol Shtar Bishnai Mochazin. If somebody comes along with a receipt that knocks apart the Shtar, it says Reuven owes the Shimon the money. But if Shimon comes along with a receipt, so that's a Simpon, it knocks off the Shover, the receipt knocks off the Shtar. So we call, in general, v'kan kori simpon dover hamivata les kiddushin. So here we can use that same borrowed terminology of simpon to say anything that upsets or uproots this kiddushin or any other mekach. So that is called a simpon. So what do we see from here? That reviewed in Maseira sends back to Ben Bagbo. Why aren't you concerned over here that, in fact, that there'll be some simpon, there'll be something that will uproot retroactively this kiddushin, and it will turn out that the woman wasn't mikudeshes, and therefore the truma the shade as an arusa, it really wasn't erisin, and therefore this woman in fact would not have been entitled to eat the truma, and that's why the rabbi said don't let her eat truma because of this potential for a simpon. But Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag sent to you the Maseira. I heard that you say shemati alecha shata omer arusa by so ocheles betruma, and that velo chayish lesimpon, and in fact you are not concerned about this concern that maybe it'll turn out that the kedushin is uprooted, and then she'll have eaten truma without being entitled to because of this simple, because of this retroactive uprooting. So therefore, how can you say this? That's what Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag says to Yehuda Maseira. So Yehuda Maseira sends him back. Shalach lei yato yato mekain. You don't agree with me. Much zakni b'chosh atabaki b'chadri Torah. I understand that you're a big Talmud Chacham and you know all of these things, and therefore I'm very surprised. Lidrosh b'kavachom yet you're there. Why couldn't you dash to this kavachom over here? And that is uma shivcho kinanis shein biyosam achilosam betruma. This shivcho kinanis that when she has bia that doesn't allow her to eat truma. If the kohen has bia with her, she can't eat truma. Nevertheless, if the kohen purchases her kaspo machilosam betruma, it's kinyan kaspo, she can eat truma. And there, we're not concerned. Lo chayshin le simple. We're not concerned that something's going to validate that deal and retroactively, it'll tell that she wasn't allowed to eat truma. So you're not concerned about it over there. So too, with this woman who marries the Kohen, the first stage of marriage, she'll be awesome, achilosa b'truma, so she is allowed to go and eat truma over here, and odin shekaspo achilosa b'truma. So kesef, she's also allowed to be entitled to eat truma, v'lo nechosh l'simpon, and we shouldn't be concerned about simpon. And abu ma esa, but what can I do? Because the rabbi said another reason, not because of simpon. Sharem chachamim arusa basisol eno ocheles b'truma, and we turn to the aleph of an aleph. Achetikones lechupa mishum deula, because of ula's reasoning. Again, ula's reasoning is different than simpon. Simpon is that something's going to come up that will undo the kiddushin, and then it will turn out she wasn't really married to him, and therefore the right to eat truma wasn't there. That's simpon. But here we're talking about a different concern. We're concerned that she's entitled to eat the truma. Maybe there arises she can't eat the truma. We're not concerned about simpon. But what we're concerned about is that she's going to not live yet with her husband, and she's going to take home the peanut butter sandwich and give it to her brother or sister. That we are concerned about. And that is the opinion, Rudin Masera. Nu, Uben Bagba, why wasn't he concerned about that? He was a big Talmud Chacham. Why, in fact, did he not agree with Rudin Masera? Because he says, Simpon ba'avodim lesley. He says, there is no such thing as simpon in regards to an eved. Simpon in regards to a wife, yes, there could be things that will retroactively say this is a Mekach Tos. But not in regards to an eved. There is no such thing as Mekach Tos in regards to an eved. Why not? Because what are you going to find that could be a potential Mekach Tos? Imumim shebegaliyu, if these are some sort of a mum that is visible on the body of the Eved, so Hoka Chazile, he saw it, and obviously he was willing to accept it. Are you going to tell me it's a mum shebeseiser? Im shu mum shebeseiser? Again, who cares? My nafka lemina, you're not living with her. It's not a concern to you what type of mum she may have beseiser. So that's not going to be mekach tos either. I lim locha kaboyle, you're going to say that you needed to do melacha, and this will prevent it from doing melacha. Why? Loich partly. What difference does it make if she in fact has these various mumim? It won't in any way affect her ability. It won't diminish her ability to go do the malacha because she has some sort of an internal mum, some sort of a blemish that can't be seen. No, you tell me, Nimso Ganav o Kobi Yustus. You're going to find out that this slave was either a Ganav, he stole various things, or Kobi Yustus, he's a kidnapper. That's what Rashi understands this. In the middle of Tosus Kobi Yustus, he brings out the Rabbeinu Chananel, says the Kobi Yustus, Masachi Bekuvya. He is a person who plays with dice. He's a gambler. So if you're going to tell me over here that this Eved, this Shifcho Kinanis, or this Eved Kinani that he's purchasing, turns out to be a Ganav or Kobi Yustus, and a Nekach Tos, he says, no, Higio. He basically accepts it. You pretty much know that there's an excellent chance that the Eved Kinani is going to be a Ganav or Kobi Yustus. And then he can't claim afterwards Nekach Tos. What are you going to say? My arm is listed mizuyun o nichtav l'malchus. You're going to say that if this slave was turned out to be an armed robber, maybe that would be a mekach tos. Or he was really on the lam running away from the government because he was considered a person who had been sentenced to death, and therefore nichtav l'malchus, and that's the mekach tos? No. Hanu kala islu. Both of these things, that he was an armed robber or that he was destined to be executed by the government for some crime that he did, those things have a voice to them, and you can't argue that it's a mekach tos. And therefore, that's why we said that a eved kinani simpon ba'avodim lesley. There is no such thing as a simpon. There's nothing that could uproot this sale. And therefore, there is no simpon in regards to an eved. And that's why Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag argues with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera. Let's just go to two dots. The Gemara continues and says, Michti. Nu, let's take a look over here. Bein lemar. Whether you say like Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag, or whether you say like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera, lo ochla, the woman is not allowed to go and eat. Midirabanan. Midarai. So she might be able to eat if she marries a Kohen and is an Arusa, but she's not allowed to go and eat because of the concern of either Ula or the concern of Simpon. Nu, might be night. What's the difference, nafkamina, between Rehu the Masera and the Bagbuk? Both say that the Arusa cannot eat Truma. So one says, no, there's a difference. Ikabinayu, Kibel, Mosar, Baholach. Three scenarios. For example, Kibel, the man said, whatever Simpon you may have, whatever blemish you may have, whatever Mekach Tos there is, I accept it. And I won't take upon myself Mekach Tos. So according to the idea of Simpon, there is no Simpon, so then this would be allowed to go and eat from the Truma when she's on the Arusa. As opposed to the concern about giving it to her brother or sister would still apply. So that's one Nafkamina. Mosar, if the father gave over his daughter after the Erisin to the Shluchim of her husband. So they'll bring her into the house and do Chuppah. Now, in that situation, there is still a concern of Simpon, but there wouldn't be a concern anymore of her bringing home the food to her brother and sister because she's on the way to go and live in her husband's house. So therefore, that would be another nafkamina between the concern of Simpon versus the concern of Ula that she'll bring the food home to her brother and sister. And the third one is V'holach. What is that? This is really very similar to the case of Masar. Here, V'holach means that they handed over the girl to the shluchim of the husband. However, the father's agents still went along with them, so it's not fully handed over to the husband's agents, but she's not coming back to the house. So again, the same din applies with Masar as Halach, and that is that in regards to Simpon, there still would be a concern. But in regards to the potential of Ula to go and give over the food to the brother or sister, since she's not coming back home to the house, she's going to her husband's house, so therefore that concern wouldn't apply. And therefore, these are the three nafkaminas between Rav Yochanan ben Bagbag and Yehuda Masera's opinion of Simpon versus Ula's concern about giving the peanut butter sandwich to the brother or sister. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's share.